From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
It is affectionately referred to as Portland's biggest party. The Waterfront Blues Festival is the largest celebration of blues, soul, funk, and rhythm and blues west of the Mississippi. The 2019 festival gets underway Thursday, July 4th, and runs through Sunday the 7th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. All this week, as part of our continuing partnership with the Waterfront Blues Festival, the Coin6 Podcast Network brings you exclusive interviews with some of the artists who will take the stage this year. We'll talk about their history at the Waterfront Blues Festival, their connection to Portland, and most of all, their love of the music that will bring thousands of people together on the banks of the Willamette River again this year. Well, I'm here with Lisa Mann and Lara Price, and they are going to be performing on Friday at the Waterfront Blues Festival, and you'll be performing together. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for being here and talking to us about what's happening at Waterfront Blues Festival. You are local, Lisa. We have seen you. Mm-hmm. People know you play a mean bass. There's
well,
no doubt about
you.
It.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No doubt about it.
Lara, you're a songstress. You sing, right?
I'm a singer, yep. I do play some instruments, a little bit of drums, a little bit of guitar.
And you're from Austin, Texas, the other weird city.
Yep.
We actually stole Keep Portland Weird from Austin, Texas, right. Just so people know about
awesome.
That. So you were first. You were the first weird city before we got to be weird. But both of your stories, your backgrounds, are just fascinating. And since you're the guest, Lara, I want to talk about how you came up. You were actually born in Vietnam and correct. During a critical time in world history.
Yes, I was orphaned by the Vietnam War. And it's interesting that we're talking about this at this time right now with all the immigration problems that we're having. But the United States government actually brought me to the United States because I was orphaned by the war. So it was called
and that was known as Operation Babylift.
Operation Babylift. Mm-hmm. This was in 1975. I came over to America at April 75, so the fall of Saigon, as just a little tiny baby. And they filled these planes with boxes and crates and put us all on the plane. And we were lucky to come over to America and be adopted by an American family. So my dad, who actually is a resident of Dundee, was in the Air Force at the time, and he wrote letters to my mom. He was actually in Vietnam, and they decided to adopt a child. So they had two boys already and wanted a special or a girl. And so it's like my mother to be, you know, she saw the atrocities and she wanted help. So I was raised in an all-American, you know, only brown child in the white family, an Air Force brat. Got to travel quite a bit as a child.
How did you acquire your love of music?
I believe that my love of music came with dancing. My mother put me in ballet when I was 5 years old. And at that time, you learn how music affects your bones, your body. You know, on this beat, you're going to hit this. And with this, you're going to hit with your foot. And so I think that it started really young, you know, 5 years old, you know, being able to dance to music. And so I think that's when I got the bug. And so singing came to me when I was 12 years old. We were living in Idaho at the time. And I sang, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," and that was it.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history, yeah.
And yeah. Lisa, what about you? How did you get involved with music, and how young were you?
Well, I was pretty young when I was bitten by the bass bug. And for some reason, I was just obsessed with music, and I would sneak out of my bed at night and go listen to the radio. I'd put it as quiet as I could so I wouldn't wake my parents up, and I'd put my head right next to the speakers. And sometimes I'd dance around in the middle of the night. You know, I was probably 6 and 7 years old. But I would always tune into the sound of the bass. And even in movies, you know, the Star Wars movie or whatever, you know, TV commercials, Barney Miller, the sound of the bass guitar. Mm. And so when I was 11 years old, I was in Charleston, West Virginia. I found this Beatle bass. It was a Hofner copy. It looked like a violin, you know, like Paul McCartney's bass. And it cost $237.25 at B&B Loans in Charleston, West Virginia. I walked home every day and saved my lunch money. And I would just eat like a can of beans. You know, I was definitely malnourished at the time. And my father didn't know I was doing that, but I was saving my money to buy my first bass guitar. And I was also singing at the time and just singing along with records. And it was just, I was just born to play the bass and, mm-hmm. and started learning how to sing and play at the same time. And I don't know, just hit me young. I knew very young that was what I wanted to do.
And mm-hmm. what age was this when you bought that first guitar?
Yeah, I was 11 when I put
11 years old.
Yeah, I was 11 years old when, you know, walking home from 7th grade. Yeah. Yeah, and just eating a piece of toast or something. I had 15 minutes to walk home and 15 minutes to walk back and 10 minutes to eat. So, and that was to keep my dollar so I could put that, and go down to the B&B loans. And back then they're letting an 11-year-old come in and put a bass on layaway, but they did for some reason.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah. They must have seen your talent.
Yeah.
Seen your passion for music
and then,
as well.
Yeah, my grandfather was kind enough to pay off the final $80
That's awesome.
All right, way to go, Grandpa.
Yeah.
How did you two connect as artists?
Well, we were both nominated for Blues Music Awards.
Yes.
And we got to perform with each other in Memphis, Tennessee a few years ago.
Lisa Lara thing was born in Memphis.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah, she was nominated for bass, mm-hmm. and I was nominated for female vocalist. And so we got to perform together, and, you know, there's a point in your career where you just want to play with good people, you know, good to the bone people that are also talented. And, you know, meeting Lisa has been such a gift, a real gift in life. And, like, I'll cherish this friendship till I die.
So, me too.
Yeah.
We just hit it off.
We just hit it off. You know, your tribe, you hold on to him tight.
Yeah.
So, you know, I called her because I wanted to come see my dad and I wanted to play some gigs. Mm-hmm. So then this little tour of ours grew legs of its own. And so here we are with you, Ken.
That's right.
And you talked about your connection in Dundee, Oregon, correct?
Yeah, he's retired with his wife. They're both retired in Dundee. And yeah, they live in a beautiful place. It looks, which he just, you know, they deserve every bit of it. So yeah, they came out to the show last night. It was really fun. Mm. And I think that when parents find out that their kid's going to be a musician, I might be kind of mixed, you know, like it might be a little bit difficult, you know. I remember my brother going, "You're never going to make any money." But you know what? My compass has always been this way, and I'm grateful that I have music in my life. I have Lisa in my life. I get to make great music with her. Yeah, we got chemistry.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you to be able to play this blues festival? It's such a big part of our community here in Portland, and it has been for 32 years. It's the 32nd annual. What does it mean for you to not only play the festival, but to be able to play it together?
Yeah, well, you know, I had booked this with Peter Damon. I had this date booked.
The artistic director.
And the artistic director of the Waterfront Blues. Mm-hmm. And so when she contacted me and said, "Hey, I've got this nebulous idea coming out and we didn't have anything." And I was like, "Well, duh, Waterfront." You know, make it something really special, make it something unique.
Yeah.
And then we booked, you know, Lake Oswego and these other shows too. We're singing backups with Kevin Self on July 4th. Yeah. But no, it's just really special. And what Peter likes to do, especially with the local acts, because you can see us, you know, at some of the local venues and the Blue Diamond, places like that. But we put together these one-of-a-kind shows. So, like, one of the things I'm doing, too, is the Ceylon Sister Cruise, and we're both going to do the Ceylon Sister Cruise.
Yeah.
And that's just a combination. Sonny Hess puts that together. It's a unique combination of women that you'll probably never see the same show twice. So I think that's one of the things that's really special about Waterfront are these unique combinations of people that you otherwise would not be able to see. And there's also a very special meaning for me because July 4th is my husband and I, Alan Markell, it's our 10th wedding anniversary.
Also
and
bass
we
player.
Got, he's also a bass player. He plays with Sugar Ray Rayford. He's in Europe right now. He's in Switzerland or Austria or something. But so I'm not going to see him until the 7th. He's playing with Sugar Ray Rayford on the 7th. But we got married on stage, on the South Stage, on July 4th, 10 years ago.
Congratulations. Yeah. And that
a decade.
Is great.
I know, double digits.
Yeah. I can't believe
fantastic.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah, that definitely makes it more special.
Very special.
And for you living in Austin now, I know you know about the Waterfront Blues Festival.
Yeah.
But being there is such a music town as well. You know, there are a lot of similarities between Austin and Portland.
Yeah.
What does it mean for you to play this festival?
Well, I actually played this festival 14 years ago. So with my own band, and I did hire, some locals, Louis Payne.
Payne. The organ player.
I had John Wiedemeyer come do the festival with me, and he played with Curtis for a while. So coming back, it's awesome. It's awesome for me. And I was telling Lisa earlier today, it's like, you know, the music business is so difficult. It's heartbreaking and uplifting all at the same time. So to come back and for her to invite me and be so gracious and generous with her time and stage time too, it put a little wind in my sails. It's like, okay, you know, things are still working, and it's a hard business, but you do it because you love it. Mm. And so I'm just incredibly grateful that, you know, she's in my life, and her band is fantastic.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So, and all, you know, the short time that I was with them, you know, we had a lot of fun. So I'm just really grateful to be here.
Now, is it a difference for you, and this is for both of you, to perform in front of a large festival crowd as opposed to playing in a club setting or, you know, a juke joint kind of setting? Mm-hmm. What's the difference in terms of how you approach the performances?
Well, a lot of it for me is just the physical space.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, when, like last night we were at the Lake Theater in Lake Oswego, and it's this skinny little stage. Yeah. And so we're kind of looking, I'm looking at the guitar player like sideways, you know, and we have to kind of cram
I had to
in.
Duck so she didn't hit me with her bass.
That's right. Like, so I don't clock her in the teeth.
Yeah.
Well, luckily you're not 6'3".
Like, yeah. And there's a different sonic environment. So you got all this space, and it's kind of fun. You can, you can run around and be a rock star, you know.
You can even whisper to her, like, hey, what's that? Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody's going to hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And there's also this different sonic environment where they have these big subwoofers that are blaring away.
Yes.
Mm. And you're just going to feel this rumble. So there's something that's just really almost surreal about being up there and trying to dial in the sound and everything and make sure everybody can hear everything. But once you get that, it's so big, and it really is an uplifting feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's a different experience, because what we played last night was a listening room where people are listening to you. You can tell stories and they're listening to the lyrics to your songs. That's not necessarily what's happening at a large festival.
Yeah.
So you have to project. You have to be bigger. It's almost like, you know, like a wild animal that, you know, stands up and, you know, makes himself look bigger, you know, to scare away the predator or something. You know, it's, you have to really project in a way where, you know, in a club, you're really trying to look the people in the eye that are right there in front of you. You just can't do that at a big festival. But it's fun kind of putting on both hats.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I attempt to look people in the eye when I'm on a big stage. And I don't know if I'm getting through, but mostly you just want to send out a really clear, healing vibe, you know. You just want because there will be an exchange of energy between the audience, even though they're out here, and what's happening on stage. And so, I don't know, performing, it's such an addiction. So it's that energy exchange.
When you see people smiling.
You see people wagging their foot, or you see them dancing. I mean, it's a happy place. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why it's so huge, right?
Yes, exactly. There will be a lot of happy people out in the crowd when you perform on Friday. When you think about the mission of the Waterfront Blues Festival, and it started in 1987 as a way not only to bring artists together, mm-hmm. but to raise money and food to feed the hungry. Mm. And that mission has persisted throughout the three decades. As an artist, does that mean anything to you, the reason why we have this mm-hmm. blues festival?
Absolutely. You know, I'm talking about healing. I mean, when you feed people, I mean, that is the most basic thing, you know, to just feed people. And I'm glad that we're doing a festival that has, you know, some kind of representation for feeding the hungry. And, mm-hmm. You know, I try to do that, you know, in little steps, even where I live. So it means a lot that they are doing something like this and that we can be, you know, a beacon for that.
Mm-hmm. And it's in between Christmases.
Yeah, like you said.
Because everywhere you go during Christmas time, you go to the grocery mm-hmm. store, there's a bin, or there's a little scanner code or something where you can donate a dollar. And, you know, some groceries still do that all year. But this fills that gap. This festival fills that gap in between. And it's you know, the supplies get dwindling at this point of the mm-hmm. year. So it's really, really important. And, you know, the price has changed for coming to the festival, but it's still, it's like it's $20 a day. Or I think it's $25 if you pay
at the gate. Right.
But if you buy a ticket online, it's like $20 to come. And there's four stages of music. And there's, you know, headliners. There's a full day of Zydeco and dancing. You know, it's cheap. And I believe I've traveled quite a bit and I've played a lot of festivals, and there are very few festivals that are priced at this level. So, you know, everybody just come on down, you know, enjoy the fest, and it's for a good cause. Yeah. It really is. $20 can help.
Win-win.
Feed a family.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, what are the futures for your careers? What do you want to do? You know, post-festival and as you move forward in both of your careers?
Well, I was telling Lisa last night, mm-hmm. I have a seventh record in me, and I would love to collaborate with her. She's a great songwriter, and I'm looking forward to maybe doing a little bit of that with Lisa, if she'll collaborate.
I've never written a song with somebody
else. I know, you said
else. That. I just write my songs myself.
I'm just, really? I can't believe, have you been approached?
I have.
Okay. Well, you know, songwriting is very personal. It's very, you gotta feel comfortable. I mean, mm-hmm. you're extremely vulnerable. And I think Lisa and I have had some similar struggles in life. And I think that that's why we would be great songwriters together.
Well, twist my arm.
Okay. No, not your bass. No. I'll twist your leg.
Yeah, not you. But it's great to have you both here, both to perform at the Waterfront Blues Festival mm-hmm. and to
thank
sit down
you.
And talk with us here
yeah,
at Coin 6 about your life, your experiences, both in life and music.
Well, thank you very much.
It's going to be a great festival, and Friday night.
Friday, actually, afternoon.
Afternoon.
Friday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
All so
right.
People who,
you'll
if you got the
awake,
day off.
Right?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to lose a little sleep over the next few days.
Okay.
Because
by our energy
be there
drink.
Every day, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And
so,
eat
which
your
stage?
North. We are on the North stage. It's the blues stage. Yes.
The blues stage.
The blues stage. Yes, I think that's what they're calling it.
Okay, but the North
the
stage.
The names keep changing.
Yes.
The North stage.
North.
That's
okay.
Right. We will be there at 2 o'clock. Yep. We'll also be singing backups. I think it's at 2:30 with Kevin Self on mm-hmm. July 4th, mm-hmm. the Kevin Self Big Band, and that's on the big dance stage. I think that's the crossroads stage.
It'll be the Saltine Sweet
I think
backup
so.
Singers.
What's the one in the back with the big dance floor? The Saltine Sweet backup singers.
Yes.
And we're also going to be on the Ceylon
the
Sister
Front Porch
crew.
Stage.
The Front
the back,
Porch Stage. That's it.
What?
The front
really?
Porch stage.
The front porch stage
the
is,
front
back.
Porch.
Okay.
Is in the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
And we're going to be on the Ceylon Sister Cruise with the Northwest Women's Rhythm and Blues tribute to Rosetta Tharpe, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And that is air conditioned.
You know what? I'm coming from Texas, so
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Air conditioning is good.
Air
you.
Conditioning is fine.
This is great weather. I love it.
Like the piece of cake.
Yeah, a piece of cake.
Oh, well, again, thank you both. And everybody, check out the Blues Festival. It's going to be awesome.
Yay. Yes, it will.
Dun, 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 dun.
Amen.
The 2019 Waterfront Blues Festival starts Thursday, July 4th and runs through Sunday, July 7th. You can find ticket details, artist information, schedules, and so much more right now on coin.com. And we'll bring you live coverage from Tom McCall Waterfront Park starting Thursday on Coin 6 News This Morning.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.